Thanks, Pastor Philip. Thanks for having us. Good to get down here. Good to see you all again. I think I saw some of you or a few at camp recently. It's always good getting together down there and seeing the saints. Pastor Kevin said to pass his best wishes from Yenjibup as well, so best wishes from him. Well, let's open up some scriptures. We'll start this morning in 1 Kings, please. 1 Kings. Oh, I've got to say, happy Mother's Day as well to all the mothers. And my mum, if she's listening, happy Mother's Day. All right, hope he's had a good morning so far. 1 Kings 18, we'll start there. I'll read this story first. A little bit of reading. But I'm sure you'll stick with me. 1 Kings 18. I'm just going to cut in at verse 21. So it's Elijah the prophet here. He's come to Ahab and the Israelites there, Ahab being the king at the time. Verse 21, Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. So obviously they'd fallen back a little bit and they started to worship this Baal as their God and, looking to him. And Elijah's on the scene here. And as we read on, we'll hear what happens. Then verse 22, and Elijah said unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So Elijah puts out the challenge here to the prophets, 450 of them, so 450 verse 1 here. And he's like, all right, let's see which God is the real God and let him answer by fire. So he puts out the challenge and they're like, yep, sounds good. Let's see what happens. Verse 25, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose ye one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your gods, and put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past that they prophesied unto the time of offering of the evening sacrifice, and there was neither no voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And it's an interesting situation here. So the prophets of Baal here are doing their best to try and get this God that they worship to come and answer by fire, to the point where, you know, they were cutting themselves and they were trying to prophesy, they were trying to do lots of things to make this happen, and nothing was happening, even to the point where Elijah just started mocking them after a while, Or maybe your God's asleep, maybe he's on an adventure, maybe he's on some sort of journey, you know, he's not listening to you. And he's mocking them there and making fun of what they were doing. And it got to the point here where obviously they come to that conclusion that nothing was going to happen. In verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. So it's Elijah's turn now. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain two measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill four barrels with water. and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. So Elijah's here, it's his turn, and just to really, make sure he wasn't playing any tricks or anything like that, with his sacrifice, he had it cut up there, but he drenched it. He drenched it with water, not just once, not just twice, but three times. And, so there's water all around this sacrifice. Obviously, water and fire don't work. We know that. But he just really wanted to make a point, just really wanted to just show them that my God's going to do something miraculous here and show these prophets up. And in verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that the people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And I just love that. I just love that how Elijah's had such confidence, that no matter what the situation was like, where it looked impossible for it to happen, he knew that his God was a true God and that he was going to answer by fire, to the point where all the others, when they saw this, they couldn't deny it either. They saw this amazing, miraculous result. And that's the crunch of what I want to talk about this morning, is about results in the Lord. That's my title, if you're taking titles. Results in the Lord. And we serve a God who is in the business of performing amazing things, and therefore producing awesome results. And this is an awesome result. Awesome result for Elijah here. You know, 450 verse 1, he was well outnumbered, wasn't he? I don't know if he had many on his side, but he knew with confidence that the Lord he was serving, the God that he was serving, was the true God. And no matter what the situation was, no matter what the odds were against him, he knew that God would come through for him. And God did. God did. God produced an amazing result here. All the other people saw it. They could see the result. They could see the difference. And, it was all to God's glory there. So, as I said, that's what I want to talk a little bit about today. If we go over to John chapter 9, we'll skip to the New Testament. And I guess, we heard some testimonies today with, results, people in the Lord, and that's what we hear. When people give their testimonies, it's someone talking about a result that's happened in their lives. We've all had a result at the start. We're filled with the Holy Ghost, weren't we, on the day of Pentecost, just like they did in Acts chapter 2 there. We're all filled with the Holy Ghost. We spoke in tongues. We got a result. We got a result from God to kickstart our walk with him, didn't we? We had some proof. We had some evidence. And, we can reflect on those results. We can go back as we walk on the Lord. We can reflect on all the results, all the good blessings the Lord's done in our life, and that gives us confidence. And as I said, we hear testimonies from others, and that gives us confidence that our God is working in our lives. He's working in our fellowship. He's working amongst the people that we love and care about. And also, we can go back to the Bible, because the Bible is full of great results. Of people putting their faith in the Lord, people acting upon the promises of God and putting into action even when the odds are against them, as we just read out, and getting an awesome result. Just thinking about the Ark of the Covenant, and it was with Obadiah, I don't know if I pronounced that right, Pastor Phil, but in 2 Samuel chapter 6, have a read of that. He had the ark with him for a little bit, and he was getting blessed. I think it was for 3 months or so, and he was getting blessed. And King David saw that and thought, hang on, I want that. I want this blessing. He could see the results that was happening in this guy's life, because the Ark of the Covenant was in his presence there, and King David got it back, put it sort of where he was, and he started getting blessed as well, because he could see the results from having that near him. I guess in that time it was, the presence of God being close. And we've got the presence of God now living inside of us, don't we? And we can expect awesome results. King David sought the Lord plenty of times because he just knew, yep, I get results when I look to the God of Israel, when I look to him. He understood how things worked and he always sought the Lord. So we can learn a lot from obviously the results from people looking to the Lord in the Old Testament and also the New. John chapter 9, I'm not even there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. All right, verse 1, start at the top there. John 9, verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbours therefore, and they which were which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How then were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said, Go wash... said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. And I really like this story because it's just, it's a great act of faith here. Great act of faith, even when it might not have made sense so much to this guy. This guy was seeking result. He was born blind from his birth. So obviously, you know, tough life right from the beginning there. And obviously Jesus is on the scene, and this guy, He wanted his life changed, and obviously Jesus could see that. But it's just interesting how Jesus went about it. Jesus could have just prayed there and then on the spot for this guy. He could have been healed instantly, walked away. But it's just interesting how he made this spittle out of clay and he put it on his eyes and he sent him, you know. So this guy was blind, and then he's got clay and, you know, made out of spittle on his eyes, and then he's got to go to this pool. I don't know how far away it was, but he had to walk to this pool and go wash there. It would have looked quite strange. It would have looked really strange. He would have felt maybe a bit insecure about it as well, but he did it. He did it because he was seeking a result. Maybe he had heard of the reputation of Jesus at this point and he thought, I'll do anything to get my eyesight. No matter how silly it might look, no matter how strange it might seem, I'll do it. If that's what I've got to do to get result, I will do it. And he did. And obviously his faith was rewarded. And in verse 10 there, others saw it. Others could see the testimony of this. And, you know, they said to the guy in verse 10, How were your eyes open? How did this happen? How did this miraculous thing happen to you? And he told them it was Jesus that did it. And that's the Lord that we worship now. We worship the Lord Jesus. It was all by, you know, his amazing sacrifice, which we'll think about later, and I'll get into a little bit more shortly. But it's all because of him that we have access to these amazing results now. And no matter how strange or, you know, even if we don't quite understand things, if it's in the scriptures and we follow it to the T, we'll get the results. And maybe speaking in tongues before we'll save was strange to some of us. I mean, to me, it was a little bit strange. I didn't know a lot about it. I hadn't really heard about it. It's probably maybe a little more strange for maybe those who've been in religion and told, you know, some negative things about or whatever. But for me, it was a little bit different. Didn't know a lot about it, but I was there on my knees praying for the Holy Spirit, just praying, see what happens, and, you know, that will be it. And after about 20 or 30 minutes, I started to speak in tongues. And It was a result of what the Lord spoke about in Acts chapter 2 there. It was a result of the Lord filling me with the Holy Spirit. And after I started to read the scriptures and could see it was in there, even though on the outside and to others it might seem strange, it's in the scriptures and it's a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit and a way to communicate to God on his level. So I guess my point is sometimes things might seem a little strange to us. Why do I need to do that? You think of Gideon and the Israelites there, they had to march around Jericho for 7 days, and on the last day, 7 times. That might have been strange to them. You know, after a few days, they was wondering, what he's doing? Nothing's happening, just give up. But no, nope, that's what we were instructed to do. Let's do it, and, you know, something will happen. And they did it, and on the 7th day, 7th time, the walls fell down. So different times, you know, if we just skip to the scriptures, no matter what it's saying, we just follow that, we'll get the results that the Bible talks about. All right, just Luke chapter 4. Assuming this is mine. Yeah, like I said in that story, I really like the faith of that guy there, the blind man. Yep, I'll just do it. Whatever's required. I want a result here, a result from the Lord. And, you know, it's a humbling thing, isn't it? It would have been humbling for this guy, even more humbling, you know. And if we're prepared to humble ourselves, just follow the scriptures, we'll get to see amazing things happen. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Again, I really like this passage here. I think it's awesome. And Luke 4, verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. This is Jesus. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And I just love that. I just imagine being there on that day where you're just sitting there and he walks in, Jesus, and he reads out this passage from Isaiah, just closes it, sits down, you know, gives it back to the minister and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. It would have been an amazing time. And it was just after Jesus was tempted by the devil there, and him just, you know, making a stand obviously for the things of the Lord, and just gets up with confidence and says, I'm it. I'm the person here who's going to set you free. I'm the person here who's going to heal the brokenhearted, deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I'm going to be that person to rescue you from these situations, who's going to produce these amazing results for you. And it would have been an amazing time to be there. We can read in Isaiah 53, and as I said earlier, we'll touch on in communion later, where we can really thank the Lord and appreciate what he's done for us, because it's all by his sacrifice and what he went through for us that we are in this position now. We're in this position now where we can call upon the Lord whenever we want, whenever we need to, and expect a result. He went through a lot of pain, a lot of suffering on the cross so we could have the blessings that we receive today. So we're entitled to it. We're entitled to it all by his grace. And he wants to do it for us, which is amazing. Don't turn there. But in John chapter... Actually, go there. John 14. I feel like Luke, John. Just one verse here. Read the whole chapter of John 14 if you can. Just one verse, though. I was going to quote it, but it's quite powerful. So we'll read it. John 14, verse 14. And this is Jesus again speaking. He says, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. We have to believe this. We have to believe this. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, nothing's impossible to God. Nothing's impossible to him. He wants to do great and good things for us. And, you know, we have to believe this. When we're praying, get down and seek the Lord. I know it's hard at times. I know. And I've been there, and you're thinking, I've been praying this for a while. Why hasn't it happened? You know, and it can, I guess, confuse you a little bit, or maybe, you know, dampen your faith a little bit. But we've got to keep going back to this, going, no, the Lord can do this. The Lord can do this for me. The Lord can set me free from this. The Lord can help me with this situation. The Lord can bless me here or there. The Lord, there is nothing impossible to him, and he can do anything. I just got to keep asking him. So that's the confidence we can have because of the amazing sacrifice and what he went through for us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. For he careth for you. So he wants us to cast our cares, our problems over to him, for he cares for us. He loves us. He cares for us. He wants to see us doing well. So it's amazing. It's amazing, isn't it, that we've got a God that wants to produce great results for us. He cares for us. He loves us. And as I said, he went through a lot of pain and suffering for all this to happen. So yeah, I just wanted to touch on that point a little bit. Just remind us, which I'm sure you probably don't need reminding, but it's all because of Jesus, and we're entitled to this now because this amazing sacrifice. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, great book, which, again, you probably all know this. I heard a pastor from the Eastern States saying, I think he uses, or he could almost use Romans 8 and Philippians 4 in most of his talks because there's just so much good stuff in there. It's true, it's true. Yeah. All right, Romans 8. I'm just going to go to the end of the chapter. We'll start in verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Freely give us all things. You know, no charge, by his grace, by his mercies, unmerited favour, there it is, freely for us to partake of. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. He's justified us, made us righteous, praise the Lord. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So he's pleading on our behalf, which is awesome, and it says that in verse 26, but read that in your own time. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And I just love how, you know, Paul's talking about it. He understood, and he had a good, I guess, deep appreciation from what the Lord had done for him. And, you know, I'm not saying that we don't, and, you know, we can, I guess, get to that level there, but I just love the confidence, and I'd love to have this, I guess, this confidence that Paul had, you know, all the time, where he's like, who can separate us from this position? This position we're in now with Christ, you know, will it be tribulation, distress, famine, nakedness, peril or sword? And, you know, Frank gave his testimony saying earlier that it's hard to rejoice in tribulation, and it is, you know, we're encouraged to, but it is hard. But he said, but I've been able to hang on. I've been able to push through and keep going, keep taking that step forward. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Things are going to bombard us all the time from different angles, different ways. You might be sitting back going, everything's sweet. And the next day something happens, like, oh, well, back into another trial now. Let's see how we go. But, you know, it doesn't change the position we are in Christ, no matter what's going on around us, as we'll read. As it says, verse 37, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than able to get through what we're going through because of the love of God towards us. In verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I just love that confidence. You know, Paul's, I'm persuaded that nothing, no matter what hits me, how big it is, how tough it is, it can't change the position I am with the Lord. That I'm righteous, that I'm okay, that I have the good Lord, God's working in my life and helping me. And we can get to that position too, can't we? When we seek the Lord, we're encouraged to, as I said, not be anxious for anything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be known unto God. And as we put it to the Lord, we can expect the peace of God to be in our lives and to help us through. So let's be persuaded like Paul. Let's have this confidence that we've got the Lord working for us, that he can produce and turn this situation around for us at any time. We've got a good God that is into working results in our life, and nothing can change that position we're in, and we can call upon him all the time. I love verse 37 there too, or just going back to that. It says, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. So we're more than conquerors, and we're more than able to get through a situation. And it made me think a little, I was thinking about this a little bit, about the wonderful, wonderful game of cricket that me and my family like. Pastor Phil likes, Pastor Philip. Does anyone else like cricket here, test match cricket? No one. Jacob, come on, you got to, no? Oh, Pastor Philip, you'll have to educate him a little bit down here. Cricket. I'm talking about, I'll explain a little bit. There's a game, there's test match cricket, which goes on for 5 days, and that's the one I like the most. So it goes, can go on for 5 days, which some of you might know a little bit about. Anyway, you can play this game, this test match cricket, between two teams for 5 days and still not get a result, okay? So you can play for 5 days, both teams bat, both teams bowl twice, and then by the fifth day, by 6 p.m. on the fifth day, generally that's when it finishes, it can be called a draw because one team hasn't bowled out the other team twice. But it's an interesting thing because when you have a drawn cricket game, there's always one team that feels like they have won. It's really interesting because they're the one that sort of was in this position where they probably shouldn't have won, and they've somehow got through with a draw. And then there's the other team who think they should have won, but they couldn't bowl the other team out twice. Maybe they got nine guys out and they couldn't get the last wicket for the last 2 hours, and they felt like, we should have won that, but we didn't. And the team that survived and hung in there felt like they were winners, even though it was a draw, if that makes sense. And I sort of liken that to a little bit about things in the Lord, that we're winners. We're winners no matter what is happening in our life. No matter what, we might not have that victory that we've been seeking the Lord for the last year or the last 10 years or the last 20 years, but we're still winners. Still winners in the sight of the Lord, because that can just slip like that. At any moment, we can get that victory. And when the Lord returns, it doesn't matter anyway. We're with him. We've got a new body. We're with the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. So we're in this win-win situation, whether we've got the victory there and then, or, you know, we haven't until the Lord returns. And it made me think about it a little bit, because in that game, there's one team that always still feels like they won, even though it was a draw. And we're more than conquerors through Christ. We are winners. We're in this win-win situation, and we can thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. We go to Exodus chapter 17. I want to read another story from the Old Testament. So anyway, there's a little bit of cricket education. If you want to talk to me at lunchtime, I could talk cricket for ages with you, but no one will sit next to me now. Lockie will. His ears are probably pricked up. Exodus, 17. So winners no matter what. And as you know, think of results, whether it's, you know, results in sport or exam or whatever. Sometimes, you know, you just see the result, or we hear a testimony and you hear the result of what's happened in someone's life, but you don't always know about all the effort that's been put into to get that result, if you know what I mean. You just hear they get up and say, yes, the Lord's, after, you know, 6 months or 2 years, I've been praying about the situation and I've got the blessing, we all rejoice. We went, yeah, praise the Lord. But we don't know all the prayer that, necessarily, all the prayer that person's been doing in their own life, or, you know, the prayer and fasting that they've been doing and all that effort they've been putting in. And sometimes to get the result we're looking after, we do have to put in a little bit more effort than we may usually do. You maybe have your set prayer routine or whatever, but this thing has really, you know, hit you sideways and you think, I'm going to have to crank up my prayer a little bit now. I'm going to have to just maybe put in a little bit more effort, or maybe you read more scriptures because you just know that this good stuff is going to help you get through. And you see the result at the end, and all that effort does pay off. And there's going to be times where, yep, we're going to have to crank up the prayer. Maybe we need to do a bit of prayer and fast. We've got a prayer fast coming up next week. And you guys doing one as well down here? Yep. Yep. So I find they come around at a good time for me every 3 months or so. There's always something to pray about. Emma and I are talking about a situation this morning. And, you know, it's just a time where we think, yeah, I'm going to have to put a little bit more effort in here, I think, for this situation. It's something that's going on that, you know, needs to be resolved. And the Lord can sort this out. And I'm going to have to put in a little bit more effort to get the result. Sometimes you get the result instantly, and that's awesome as well. I mean, I hope you, every time you guys pray, you get the result instantly. You know, that's amazing. But when we put in that effort as well, and it brings results, you look back and think, yeah, praise the Lord. You've come through that trial, you've come through that situation, you've built up extra strong because you've had to put in a lot more prayer or reading or whatever, and you come out a lot tougher from it. So, as I was saying, results may require a little bit extra effort at different times. Exodus 17. The efforts won't go unnoticed with the Lord. Exodus 17, another story, Old Testament, but an interesting one, one that I enjoy. Verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill where the rod of God, with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone, put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and the people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. And he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek, that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And it's an interesting story, but I just love how, you know, it's a story about results and it's a story about support. And you look at it here at the start there, Moses, he's holding up the rod there. Joshua's out fighting the battle against the Amalekites there. And while he's holding up the rod, they were winning. They were winning the battle. The result was in their favor. And as soon as Moses started to drop his hands, the result started to turn. And the enemy, the Amalekites, were winning there. And the people could see that. The people understood that. And there was a time where Moses just couldn't hold up his hands anymore. He was obviously tiring through the day. It was getting tough for him. But he had some support. He had some support here with Aaron and Hur. They held up his hands. They held up his hands. And they knew that when his hands were held up, they would win the battle, and they did. And we're going to go through times in our walk in the Lord where we're just going to need some support. We're going to need some support in the fellowship, aren't we? We're seeking the Lord about something. We're going okay for a while. Maybe we're going okay for a few months, or, you know, maybe it's a longer one, a couple of years or whatever. It gets to a point where I'm just tired. I'm tired. This is taking a long time, and it's starting to get to me, and it's so great that we can just call upon some support from the fellowship here. We can ask brothers and sisters to pray for us, to help us, to uphold the promises of God. And we get that from time to time, don't we? We get a scripture sent to us or something. It's the promises of God. And it just gives us that little bit of boost, that little bit of support that we need to just keep walking on, to keep looking to the Lord. And the support that we get is amazing through the fellowship. And use it. Use it. If you feel like you're tiring through something, ask for some support. Obviously, the Lord is your first point of call. Obviously, we know that. We get on our knees, we seek the Lord, we go to him first. But we also do have the fellowship of the saints. And ask for some prayer. fellowship, talk to your pastor, just let them know what's going on and say, look, I need some help here. I need some extra prayer. I need some scriptural encouragement through this trial because I want a good result. And as we just read, that's what happened with the Israelites there. It says in verse 15, they built an altar there, Moses did, and called the name of Jehovah Nissi, which is the Lord my banner. So the Lord my banner, Lord is out there, he's representing us, isn't he? We're representing the Lord in that sense, but his banner is in front of us. You know, we're supporting the Lord, his banner is in front of us, and it's a God that does work results. You know, we could have this banner here saying, you know, God of results, God that does something in our life, a God that does miracles and miraculous things in our life. There's lots of different banners that we could sort of put in front of us about what God does in our lives. So when we get up, give our testimony, we're representing the Lord and we're proclaiming what he's done in our lives, just like he did here for the Israelites and Joshua as they fought the battle. They were winners, and so are we. Just in Matthew 28, Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He's with us always. Wonderful promise. I didn't read it earlier, but when we're in Romans 8, my favourite scripture was the one before in verse 31. It says, if God be for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? We've got him on our team. We've got God on our team, which means we're going to get great results. Great results. You know, you've got the best couple of soccer players in the world on your team, you're pretty confident you're going to get a good result there, aren't you? Well, we've got the God of creation on our team. So we're going to have great results in our life. How am I going? I was going to read that. Yeah, let's go there. Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is more for those, I guess, that I can see we got no visitors here today, but for those who may be listening in, that aren't yet filled with the Holy Spirit. I might just read out these few verses here in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whether thou goest to possess it. But if thy heart turn away, so that thou will not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land, whether thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. The length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give unto them. And I love that bit there, that he is thy life. And Pastor Philip was talking a bit about being hid or something, that, you know, you don't hide from the Lord, you know, let the Lord work in our life, and he is our life now. He is our life. And we make him number one in our life, and we've chosen to follow him because, as it says there, that we've chosen life, we've chosen blessing. And I guess there's going to be results either way, isn't there? We know that. There's going to be results either way. And when people pass away, some people think, well, that's good for you. It's good that you want to follow God and you want to go to heaven on that. I'll just be neutral and nothing will sort of happen to me. But as it says here, it's either, you know, there is going to be, I guess, a judgment, and it's given us, I guess, the Lord gives us a choice that we may choose life and blessing, or the result of not choosing the Lord and life and blessing is going to be cursing and death. And I know it sounds pretty harsh and it's pretty blunt, but that's the reality of it all. And the Lord wants us to make the right choice because he wants to see great results for us. So, like I said, I'm just bringing that out. I know you guys have made the choice to follow the Lord, which is great. We want to keep hanging on to that. But I guess if anyone's listening in that isn't quite sure, We're happy to explain and let you know that if you choose the Lord, you'll get the great result of eternal life and living forever and ever with him. Praise the Lord. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm just going to quote scripture out of Psalm here. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever doeth, he shall prosper." That's the result. Result of those that are steadfast, that are walking the Lord, that have chosen him, chosen to follow him, that be planted by the rivers of water, and his leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15. Just to finish up on. Finishing a bit early, Pastor Philip, is that okay? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. And I guess this is the final result that we're after. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." So that's the final result. That's the final result for those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, for those who have chosen to follow the Lord, for those that speak in tongues and been baptized, that have done what the Lord requires, is this promise of eternal life. And we're encouraged here to be steadfast, unmovable, to be rock solid in the things of the Lord. And the Lord will give us this ultimate result of living forever and ever and ever. So, and you know, it doesn't end there. The results don't end there. You know, the next age is going to be amazing. It's going to be out of this world, isn't it? And the results will just keep flowing and just keep happening in our life. So it says in Romans 8, verse 11, "If the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in us." So just to conclude, the Bible is full of great results. Get to know them. You're entitled to receive the blessings, to have the results of the Lord continually working in your life. And we know it's by the grace of God, sacrifice of Jesus, nothing that we could do. But the best result is yet to come. So be steadfast, hang on, look to the Lord, get your blessings, and enjoy the ultimate result to come at the end. Praise the Lord.